Hi, I'm Elissa Nicole Trust, an actor and writer living in New York City.
Hey, I'm Lauren Schaffel, an actress and producer also living in New York City.
And we are Positive Creativity Podcast.
Positive Creativity is a podcast where we speak with writers, directors, and other artists about what they're working on, what's inspiring them, and how they stay positive in this industry. We are looking to shed light on all of the wonderful projects happening in New York and beyond.
Our goal is to give creative artists a platform to talk about their work, and to give theater and film lovers the opportunity to learn about more creatives and projects. Thanks for listening. This episode is brought to you with support from Ahava Theater Company. Matt Webster is a New York City-based actor and writer. As an actor, Matt has been seen on stage in Broadway concerts, national tours, and recently won Best Actor for his portrayal of Johnny Pope in A Hatful of Rain, BroadwayWorld.com. As a writer, Matt's shows include Back, Jay and the Contest, and his original musical, Kingdom Come. Matt won the Johnny Mercer Award for songwriting and currently works as assistant to Broadway's Andrew Lippa. Welcome, Matt.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
So, Matt, we always like starting off asking all of our guests, what are you currently doing that's keeping you inspired?
Well, I think something that always inspires me, I'll answer this pre-COVID-19 and post-COVID-19. What usually inspires me is seeing other friends performing and going to see theater and performances of other people. But since I can't do that, I've really been inspired by some really good television shows, actually. I've been noticing how some of my writing has been influenced by the things that I'm ingesting during this period.
That's awesome. What are you watching?
Well, I've always been a big fan of Westworld. And I thought the second season of Westworld had some challenges with the timeline of the show, and it found it to be like convoluted and a little bit too confusing, and the payoffs not being like good enough. And I noticed that in the third season that I have just started, they've really kind of simplified the timeline, or at least so it seems. They've simplified the timeline and are letting the twists and turns be a little bit more linear, which I have found to be much more enjoyable. So I like to write, you know, in some genres at different times, and I am currently kind of working on a sci-fi genre type of show. And so it's been really nice to see how shows evolve and how writers obviously take feedback and apply it to future seasons and stuff.
That's really cool. So you are a writer as well as an actor. Have you always known that you wanted to be both?
No, I started out as just an actor. I did my first show when I was 5 years old. I was in The King and I at a local community theater. My sister, who was 7 at the time, really wanted to do it. And I was just sort of along for the ride. And then I decided to audition too. And I got in the cast with her. And then I just sort of caught the bug. She ended up kind of distancing herself from it not long after that. But I was like, I want to do this every day. So then I did it every summer, and they had like a Christmas show that I would do. And then I did it in high school. I did the shows in high school. And then I went to college for acting. And in college is when I discovered sort of my love of writing.
Cool. So did you take a playwriting class? How did you discover that you loved to write?
Yeah, I've done a couple master classes around the country at different universities that have done my shows. And I've told this story a lot because of that. So I was a freshman in college, and I was in the acting department. And, you know, everybody that's in the acting department, usually when you're a freshman, it's like you're the best of the best of your high school coming to a college. So for the first time, kind of, you're like surrounded by the other bests of the best. And it's really unusual to get cast as a freshman in college. And I didn't get cast, but I was like upset about it. And I was like, what? I thought I had a good audition. Like, what did I do wrong? And the professor pulled me aside and he goes, Matt, this is, you got to get used to this. Like, you're going to get told no so much. And he was like, the way to move forward in this business is the way is by how you choose to respond to being told no. So he was like, I would recommend that when you get told no, that you respond with action, choose something to do to fill the creative void that you feel you've been denied. So, which was like great advice, which I didn't quite understand at the time. But I took a playwriting class because of that. And I spent a lot of time in my playwriting class writing because I didn't have any rehearsals to go to. And I wrote a monologue play, which was one of the assignments. And my playwriting professor was like, I feel like the last scene of the play maybe could use some music. And I know you used to play the piano. Have you ever thought about writing a song? And I was like, oh, I don't play the piano anymore. It's been like 8 years since I've played the piano, really, like took lessons. And he was like, you should just do it. So I sat down at a piano and I closed my eyes and I put my hands on the piano and I played a C major 7 chord, which I didn't even know what that was at the time. And I played that chord, and that is the first chord of the first musical I ever wrote called Kingdom Come. And it's still to this day the first chord of the show. And I just fell in love with being behind the piano again and writing. And I wrote 17 songs in like 4 weeks, and I wrote a musical, and it just sort of fell out of me. And that's when it all really began.
Wow.
I know, it's kind of a weird story. Like every time I tell it, I'm like kind of eye rolling myself that I closed my eyes and sat down at the piano. But like, to be truthful, that's exactly how it happened, that's the funny part.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think it's so amazing that you discovered this whole other side of yourself that was just, it was in you, right? It was just like waiting to come out.
Yeah. And I think when it comes to people that are creative, I think if you're a creative person, you are a creative person in whatever medium you choose to hone at that time. Like I don't pretend to be able to be a great painter, but I think if I studied painting and spent all of my time painting, that I would create something that at least I would feel proud of. And I think a lot of creative people can be like that. And it was just an exciting time to sort of discover a new passion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you completely. That's amazing.
Yeah. You're a writer and an actor.
Yes, I am as well. And my story is a little bit different, but I'm extremely impressed that you also write music, because I'm currently working on the book of a musical, but I feel like those are completely different skill sets. I cannot write music, and I think it's unbelievably impressive that you can write for the stage, for the screen, and music and lyrics. Like, I am not impressed.
I had no business doing that. You know, I stopped taking piano lessons when I was 12, and I should have stayed with piano lessons, but I stopped. And I have battled that my entire career, feeling intimidated by the piano. Then I kind of remind myself, all it takes is sitting down and trying, and just sort of happened, and it worked for me. And I'm inspired too, because I recently was talking with Stephen Flaherty, and I was at a gathering with him, and we were talking about Once on This Island, because I said, you know, I'm just so impressed with how varied your music is. Like, none of his music to me sounds the same, yet I can kind of tell that it's a Stephen Flaherty song in a weird way. But he's so varied, and I complimented him on that, and I asked him how he accomplishes that. And he said that he is very intimidated sitting at a piano. And I was like, Oh, great. We have a lot in common. Tell me more. And so he said when he thinks of his music, he doesn't think of him as the writer. He thinks of his characters as the writers. So when he was writing Once on This Island, he said, I didn't write the music behind the piano, because those characters wouldn't have written their music behind a piano. So he went to his rooftop and he walked laps on his track, on his roof. And he wrote the songs in his head, sort of as like, passed down music would have been written, if that makes sense. And I was so inspired by that because, one, it gave me permission to be intimidated at my piano because I always felt like that was a weakness. And he turned that weakness into a strength. Again, that sort of feeling like he's been told no, and he responds with action. He responds to intimidation with action in a different way. And that was always a very profound moment for me in my career so far, was hearing him talk about that.
Wow, that's amazing. And what an amazing story. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah, and I think it's really helpful to hear like these titans in our industry talking about how they feel inadequate and they feel insecure. That just makes me feel better.
Yeah, how it's such a universal experience. It doesn't matter what level of your career that you're at. All artists go through that moment of maybe insecurity or fear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Oh, that's really inspiring.
Yeah.
I'm curious, have you acted in any of the work that you've written, be it for musicals or theater or film?
Yes. So I had never acted in anything that I have written except for one play called Back, B-A-C-K. And I wrote it. It was the first play, actually, that I ever wrote, a full-length play. And I quickly realized that I was writing myself, and I'd never done that. I'd written aspects of myself into characters, of course, but never actually writing someone that felt close to me. And so I kind of realized like, oh, this is my story that I want to tell, and I want to play this part. And so for that piece, I've stepped away from it to just maybe focus on being a writer for that chunk of time. I stepped away from it twice just to focus on being a writer. But every time it's been performed publicly, I've played the role of Derek in the play. And it just felt like it was something I really wanted to do. But that's the only time I've ever written anything for myself.
What was that experience like for you playing a role that you had written?
I loved it and also was very nervous at the same time. Because I think when you perform in the stuff that you write, you are telling an audience like, hey, this is a pretty close representation of me. Or this has very similar aspects. This character has similar aspects to me. And so that's like kind of a scary thing to share. But I loved being able to explore different sides of myself that I wouldn't explore in real life. It kind of felt cathartic in that way. Derek says something in the play that I would never say because it's very harsh and it's very direct and harsh. It's just a rude, mean thing to say, and I would never speak that way. But I've definitely had those feelings before and those emotions before and never articulated them that way because I have more like self-control than Derek does. So it was really kind of cathartic to be able to say some of these like emotions that I felt, but not actually say them, have a character say them. I don't know. That's kind of weird, but it really did feel kind of cool. And then obviously that character is, Derek is judged for that and disciplined for that and has consequences for those things. So that was also good to experience as well. Like, what happens if I actually do say that? Oh yeah, the rest of the play, which is bad for him, you know.
Yeah. That sounds like a really special experience.
Yeah. When the play is in the beginning stages of its life, I feel like a writer can have control of playing the part, but the goal always as a writer for me has been to share my work with as many people as possible. And that means giving up creative control, right? Giving it to a licensing house or giving it to a regional theater and saying, produce this and I won't be in that production. So for now I've been able to stay with it, but I know it's going to come to a point where, I hope it comes to a point where I can't be in every production, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I've been in contact with a regional theater in the Midwest for a little over a year now about potentially producing one of my plays. And when we did it as a showcase in New York, I played the lead in that show. And when I was speaking to my agent a while back, I had said, you know, I would love if one of the things we could negotiate is for me to be a part of this. And she kind of told me that I had to let that go, and that having the opportunity to have my play produced regionally was such an incredible opportunity that it really needed to be about that. And that was a really big moment of learning for me. And it was after that I pretty much started really writing things that I am not right for, that I wouldn't be a part of, and started using my writing not as a vehicle for my acting, but to share my work and to write about things that were important to me. And it seems like you figured it out a little bit more quickly than I did.
I also think that, kind of tying back in the if you're a creative person, you can sometimes be creative in other ways that you don't quite yet know. And I think just because you should be proud of having your show produced regionally doesn't mean that at the same time you should also have to give up another part of yourself in order to make that happen. So I totally understand the advice of your agent saying, you know, like, just be happy with what you have. But also, that's like a really hard thing to say to an artist, right? Like, we are sometimes so much more invested in these works that we create than just the opportunity that they give us. We're invested emotionally in them, and to not play that part is, yeah, bad for your career as an actor maybe, but it's also maybe bad for your heart. And like,
yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes I think writers who don't perform in their works are doing it because of advice like that. And sometimes I think we need to, and I know this is so much easier said than done because I've definitely faced this, but like, we need to say, no, actually I'm going to be in this and it's a package deal. Come enjoy. You will enjoy my performance. No one else can play this like me because I wrote it for me, you know, and it's not everything I do, but this piece I want to play, you know?
Yeah. And it's also a lesson in empathy. There's a playwright / actor who I very much admire. I really aspire to be like her. And I had heard, really as gossip, that she had been saying to some theaters wanted to produce her work, and she had told them no because they wouldn't let her be in it. And then I heard her on a podcast talking about how she gets her health insurance by being in her shows. And I, like, it was such a lesson in empathy of like, wow, you really can't judge people, because it seemed like a vanity thing, but actually it was literally for her survival.
Right.
So that was like a pretty big aha moment for me.
Definitely. Yeah. Who knows what is motivating all of these things? And the simplest view might be vanity, but that's not often the case.
Yeah. So you have a short film that was supposed to be in production this month. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I teach acting and I'm a resident playwright at the New York Film Academy. And I have really been enjoying that aspect of my career. And this past January, myself, along with a writing partner that I tend to collaborate with often on musical projects, she and I wrote a play called Democracy Day One, and it was produced at the New York Film Academy and in January, full production. They did a great job. And then the second half of that class, so the first semester is we write a play for them. We meet the students and we get to know them and we give them like sample scenes and we come up with like 5 or 6 different ideas for a play. And then we workshop it with a director and we rehearse it and we figure out what we want to do. And then we sort of write a show in the 2 months that are kind of left after that trial period. And then we fully produce it in January. And then the second part of the year, the second semester, is spent taking that stage show and turning it into a short film. So it's a really great opportunity for the students because they get to do a stage show and a short film, and they get to see the adaptation process. And I'm really loving the whole idea behind the class. It's a great concept. And so we were supposed to start filming tomorrow, actually, April 14th. But that has been postponed. Hashtag COVID. So we don't know really when that's going to happen because, you know, universities and colleges have all moved online. Some have just canceled. So what we have come up with for right now is sort of an online Zoom play that we are writing that we are going to try and finish up and see if we can find a really great editor and have all the students do self-capture video with their computers and record a Zoom short film.
Wow.
I think that's such a great idea. It's this kind of cool new creative way of using technology to tell stories. It's, you know, it's, I feel like it's a little bit of growing pains and adjustment, but it's such a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, who knows if it'll work or how it will work. But what it is doing is it is motivating the students in a time where that is very uncertain for them and a time where they are dealing with a lot of, depression is maybe a packed word, but a lot of sadness that they were going to shoot a short film. Like, that's a big deal. And that has been sort of taken off the table for them. So it's been a really great way to boost spirits of everybody and keep everybody motivated and having something to look forward to. So even if it just serves as an exercise, I think it's a helpful one.
Definitely. Any way to stay creative in this kind of period that feels like maybe just stalling. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
I've been so inspired. I just watched, this will be dated by the time this airs, but I'm watching Saturday Night Live at home. Did you guys get to watch that?
No, but I did hear about it.
Oh man, it's a good time. And the majority of it, I'd say 75% of it at least, was shot using Zoom. And there's so many fun sketches that they do kind of talking about like all the annoying things with Zoom. And like, it's a good time. But also the quality of a lot of it looks really great.
Yeah, you can, I mean, there's a lot you can do. There's a lot you can play around with, especially with the support of Saturday Night Live. I mean, I'm sure they can do amazing things.
This is true. Lorne Michaels does not get around.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, definitely. If you're looking for a good laugh, there's some fun stuff.
That's great.
So, Matt, I'm curious, what advice would you give for others who want to balance a career in both acting and writing?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think for me, what has worked, if I were to give advice to myself, it would be do what makes you happy in the moment. So if that means not auditioning because you're working on a new play that you're really inspired by, then do that. If it means I don't really have a story I want to tell right now, let me tell other people's stories, then I would say audition, find some work that you want to do in that direction. In 2018, a director called me and said he was producing this play called A Hat Full of Rain. And I don't know if either of you know it, but it is, I think if Long Day's Journey Into Night weren't a play, this would be our Long Day's Journey Into Night. It's a family drama post Korean War, where a Korean War veteran comes home and is addicted to morphine because he was tortured, and he's hiding his addiction from his family. And the play explores sort of the, I don't know, a week's worth of time of this young man's life as an addict trying to just survive. And I got to play that young man, and it was something I really wanted to do. And I felt inspired by the script, and it was a story I really wanted to tell. And so I actually had to turn down a writing opportunity in order to do that production because it took me out of town. But in that moment, you know, I sat down, I talked with my wife, with Mary Joanna, and I said, you know, I think this is what's making me, is going to make me happier. And so that's what I did. And And I think it's finding that balance of when I can't write, I act. When I can't act, I write. And when one thing is making me happy, I try to stay in that lane for as long as possible. And then when that show closed, I immediately, kind of funny, like literally jumped on a plane and flew to Germany because one of my musicals was happening in Berlin. In Munich. And so the timing of that one worked out. So I didn't have to lose that opportunity. But, you know, it's sort of finding that balance and letting your happiness direct you, I guess, would be my advice.
That's really great. And I definitely feel like that's really helpful for me to hear. because this winter, I had taken on a little bit too much. I got to the point where I was just way too busy. And I said to myself, I can be an actor, writer, all the things I want to be, but I can't be all of these things all at once. It's just too much. So I came up with this plan that in the winter, I was going to focus on being an actor. And in the summer, I was going to focus on writing new work. And in the fall, I was going to focus on editing that and preparing for audition season. And I was so proud of myself for coming up with this proposed schedule that maybe I would stick to in 2021. And I told Lauren about it. And Lauren was kind of like, just do whatever feels right. Like you don't have to, you know, choose. Like, it's the summer, so I'm a writer now. Like, you're open to all of these things. And whatever feels right, whatever has whatever opportunities are happening at the moment, like, just kind of go with that and go with the flow a little bit more. Like, I don't know. I feel like Lauren sort of talked me out of this very specific I had created. So what you said really helps with that too.
I love that. I love that you tried to schedule yourself and your other creative friend was like, you can't do that. That's not going to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so carefully planned that part of me was like, yeah, power to you. You can do it. But then the other part of me that was like, that's insane.
Yeah.
You also touched on something that I struggle with a lot as a creative person, is taking on too much and feeling like there's a lot of projects. I've definitely felt that recently. I would say this past year especially has just been, I'm so thankful for a lot of projects and a lot of things to hold my focus. But I sometimes worry that I take on too much, which then doesn't allow for the projects to be as good as they could be. That's definitely a worry of mine, that by saying yes to a lot of things, I'm not able to put my focus as clearly and as definitively as I need to on projects as they pop up. Have you felt that?
Yeah, that is very much something that I can relate to. I'm feeling it right now because I'm working on a couple of plays. I'm like finishing up one play, but got really excited about my next play and started that. I'm also working on a musical, like I said, and I recently started collaborating with somebody on a pilot, and it feels like too much. And I am concerned that I'm never going to actually finish any of these things and just have all of, and instead have several unfinished writing projects. And when there's somebody to be accountable to, it definitely really helps, because then you can kind of pace yourself and figure out when exactly to do certain things. But I don't have any advice for it, only to say that I so relate to it. And I think it's a really common trap that creative people, not just writers, fall into.
Yeah,
definitely. I've been in that boat before too, not as a writer so much, but as an actor. My natural impulse is always to say yes, especially when it's people who I've worked with before or people who are dear friends. But I guess for me, it's usually like trusting my instincts. When I start to feel overwhelmed and I know right away, it's like when I can't sleep at night or like my brain is like on overload thinking, that's when I'm like, all right, this is too much. And then it's that careful process of kind of stripping back a little bit and maybe reaching out to one of those projects and being like, so I need to take a break,
right?
Or do this in another 3 weeks, which is not always an easy conversation to have either. But trusting your own kind of sense of self and mental health and physical health, like all of those are affected, I feel, when we take on too much.
Mm-hmm. And the tricky thing is I am more productive when I'm very busy because I schedule out my day clearer. I schedule out my week more clearly. So I tend to operate better being busy. And so sometimes that line can get blurred.
Oh, I get it.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I've heard that from a lot of creative people.
Yeah, I think that's why this pandemic, the quarantine, shelter in place, feels like such a wonderful idea for artists. It's like, oh, now I have all this time. But then it is very challenging to stay focused. In part because there's a pandemic happening, and that's a hard thing to process, but also because sometimes the lack of, or I guess an excess of time can be challenging to feel creative and productive inside of.
Definitely. Yeah. So Matt, do you have any favorite projects that you can share with us?
Let's see. I have some favorites that are sort of currently happening. In February, before the shutdown of everything, of life, I premiered a new play at Theater Row for a one-night-only kind of presentation called Jay and the Contest. And I got to work with like sort of a dream cast of actors, one of which was Ali Stroker, who I've always been a fan of, but I'm also friends with her. And so it was just like a dream to work with her. And we did it for one night and I learned a lot, and we had plans to maybe, you know, take it into sort of another step. And then the quarantine happened. And so the director and I, who is amazing, her name is Hannah Ryan. Shout out to Hannah Ryan. She is the resident director of Hamilton right now on Broadway. And she's just like incredible, so smart, just the best. And so she and I have been meeting every Wednesday and Friday from 11 to 1, sort of having a quarantine retreat. And that's been really, it's just been really exciting and really positive. And so this Wednesday we are getting the gang back together and having the full cast come back and read a new version of Act One that we've been working on. So it's all going to happen on Zoom, as things do nowadays. So that's been something that's been really exciting and fun to work on right now.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Talk about some positive inspiration.
You know, I found that I want to be productive, and the way to be productive in this time is, like we were saying, is to find people to hold me accountable, to work on projects that are just making me happy. I'm not working on anything that is challenging. Not to say that rewriting a play isn't challenging, but it's work that makes me happy. I'm not working on anything that I have a bad relationship with. I'm not rewriting a show that I stopped writing 4 years ago because I couldn't get it right. Like I'm not focusing on like these huge, big challenges. I'm working on things that make me happy and make me excited. So that helps as well.
That's really awesome. And the thing about being an artist is that for most of us, we went into it because it is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes doing it as a profession, we lose sight of it.
Yeah. When I was in second grade, we had to do a calendar of what our job was going to be, right? So like our teacher asked us, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they published all of the answers in the calendar that they would send home for the year or something. I don't know. And I said that I wanted to be an actor when I grew up because it makes me, because it's fun and it makes people happy.
Aww.
And I've never really forgotten that, but I probably would have forgotten it, but my dad once sent me that calendar when I was graduating college, as sort of like a little reminder of what I was about to get myself into as an actual professional. And, you know, it's sometimes necessary to remind ourselves, like, we're doing this because it makes us happy. We're doing this because it's fun. We're not doing brain surgery. We're not saving any lives. We're entertaining and we're telling stories, and hopefully we're changing people's minds and perceptions. And I was talking about this with my actors recently. Sometimes actors get really, I've noticed in my classes, they get a little apprehensive with tapping into some emotional moments in their lives. And I always encourage them, and I say, you know, it is our job as actors to go through emotions, to feel emotions, so that other people can learn from that. Like, that's literally our job. We go on stage and we pretend to be other people and pretend to have emotions so that hopefully an audience member can say, oh, I recognize that emotion. I know what that emotion is. I experienced that. Then they go away from that experience, hopefully saying, how can I improve, or how can I change, or how can I be more empathetic or compassionate to the world because I've experienced this character going through this emotion. And so that has been my like mantra to my students, is you're an agent of empathy. Your job is to be emotional in front of others in order to get them to learn about their own emotional journeys. And I think when we lose sight of that as performers or as writers, and we maybe are thinking too commercially, or we're thinking too financially, it's like the root of this is play. The root of this is pretend. And that sort of, so far, has been able to wrangle me back in when my thoughts kind of start to snowball.
Yeah, I love that so much. And what you said about, you know, our job is to play, and this idea of like pretend, it reminds me of what one of my teachers, who we actually interviewed on this podcast as well, Lee Brock, at the Barrow Group, she always says, you know, it's right in our name. We are players. Mm-hmm. Our job is to play. And it just warms my heart hearing that. It takes all of that kind of pressure and stress, maybe some of the apprehension even that you mentioned your students are having about sharing those experiences. Yeah. Our job is to play.
Right. And it's a vulnerable thing. What we do is not easy, but I find it so necessary. I think it's, and this, you know, this is my soapbox when I'm teaching and to my students, I get up on that soapbox and I say, you know, this is what you've chosen for your life. You have chosen to expose your emotional life to another person, a stranger, for the rest of your lives. It's not easy, but think of the benefits to the world because you've chosen to be emotional in front of other people. So much of our lives, we walk around controlling our emotions, hiding our emotions. You know, it's told to you, it's polite to not show emotion because it could be looked at as, I don't know, a bunch of things. But we are saying it is our job actually to be emotional in front of other people. And that is very vulnerable and exposing.
Absolutely. It's a really brave thing to do.
Yeah.
So, Matt, I want to thank you so much for coming on our podcast. I think those are really inspiring words that you just shared with us. Art as an agent of empathy.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much. It has been such a pleasure.
Yeah. I'm honored to have been asked to chat. Thanks for having me. This was great.
Thank you so much for listening. We always love hearing from you. You can email us at positivecreativitypodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram at positivecreativitypodcast. And for more info on our guest today, please view the show notes. Join us next time on Positive Creativity Podcast.